You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. NOLA's the way to follow on social media and get involved in a conversation. Jordan, the intern, manning the phones today as we're in the LaRose studios. Our thanks to Brennan Mathern, who joined us, public information officer for LaFouche Sheriff's Office, but also I had no idea did a talk show, Nichols Voice, did all these different things. Kind of me, but just, you know, now he's... yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's great.
It was in Morse code.
Took a selfie over in the brand-new South LaFouche Tarpons home football field in the end zone. We spoke with South LaFouche head coach Blake Forsythe at 105. Mayor Brennan was at the top of the 12 o'clock hour. John Reed just now, former Tospicune and NOLA.com hoops reporter for the Hornets and Pels, but last year went over to Jacksonville to cover the Jags. So we spoke to him about Jacksonville and the team that the Saints will be facing tomorrow in the preseason opener. This hour open to your takes and conversations. Jordan, the intern, will pass along a couple of articles and things that we want to touch on, including early MVP race. In case you missed it, the big news already. We know who the Pels are opening up the regular season to. But first, Joey, I can actually look at you and say, welcome us to the midway point of your work week.
Welcome.
Oh. Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day. I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more about what that camera Wednesday hump day is.
There it is. 800-998-1003 is the way to get involved in the conversation. More than anything else, you can tweet at us. At ESPN Radio NOLA, Jordan the intern has a question of the day up there. It has to do with the Pelicans signing. First, some words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
As always, we appreciate you tuning us in. Don't forget tomorrow and each and every Thursday from here on out. Vinny's Caddyshack, 3217 Ridge Lake over in Metairie. I want to say it's like 17th in Ridge Lake. I'll know for sure tomorrow. But it'll be right there. It's right across the street from Lakeside Mall. Come on in. Have some delicious lunch. I know they have some great plates and dishes and lunch specials as well. So come on in. Have a little lunch with us. We'll be there. John 4K is going to stop by as we get you ready for Saints Jags, the preseason opener. Also, join the intern on Saturday. Where will we be with 4K, Marlon, you and me?
We'll be at Harley-Davidson on Airline.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be free beer, free food, mm-hmm. Chicken, sausage,
bacon.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully not.
Burgers, little
ice cream.
Dogs. Yep. Snowballs. And football toss. We're going to have a football toss competition. Winner, you know, it's like best of five. We're going to do best of five. And it's one of those, you know, like training mats or whatever that has the picture of a receiver from back in the day. You know, it's not a new looking receiver. So it's a back in the day looking receiver. And, you know, you see his arms, but he's missing his hands because that's where you're going to throw. It's a hole. It's a cutout. And that's where you're going to throw it at. So we'll each get five tosses and we will put on a sheet of paper where everyone can see or a piece of particle board or whatever.
We get back
what our totals are. No, there's no practice.
Practice toss?
I'm not talking about practice. I'm talking about a game. Gamer.
I might be a little rusty.
Nope, got to be a gamer.
Like Sean Payton.
I love that bite. No, I love that bite yesterday from Sean Payton talking about a gamer. You think he was talking about you? Are you a gamer?
I want to call myself a
Jordan
gamer.
Jordan, the intern. Joey, go ahead and pot me up here. Let's see what Payton had to say when it comes to... That's me. The cable was coming out. Yeah. Is Sean Payton on being a gamer?
Let's go the other way.
Some players in years past that, man, they can practice well and you feel like they're going to perform. And then when the lights come on, for some reason or other, they can't carry it over to the field on game day.
Is he talking about
So you work with that, you try to overcome that, and on the other side of it, yeah, I mean, there are players that have that confidence. That confidence comes from, the ability they've demonstrated before, and they see themselves having success. You see it to an extent with a veteran player that may not get the full week of practice in. Maybe he misses on Wednesday, Thursday, but there is a confidence level of achievement and past accomplishments that lead them to be able to perform.
But you have to see it in practice to some degree, right? I mean, like, you can't have a guy just does it.
No. I mean, we tell the veteran players, the young players, we need to see it, and it's important. The veteran players, we need to see it. Now, not every day, but we need to see that they still have it. And that applies to a lot of the guys that are here fighting for a roster spot.
Gamer, Jordan the intern.
Ooh.
See, I just gave you a compliment. Imagine that. Look, it's going to be interesting to see tomorrow once the game gets underway who does kind of take it up to that next level and the next notch. Coming up tonight, you and I will be working on the top five things we'll be looking for tomorrow. Brian and Ole East will do something as well, and we'll have that up on the website. And we'll use that tomorrow, and we'll talk about it since you have school stuff to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be at the remote. But we can still see your work. You got the rookies.
Okay.
Is there a rookie? Just give us a tease. Is there a rookie that you're looking forward to seeing play above everyone else other than Traquan Smith?
Ooh. Will Clapp.
Will Clapp.
Let's see. Okay. Will Clapp.
I'm going to go with Natrell Jamerson.
Okay.
The reason I say that
slow practice
is because you and I have talked during practices.
Yeah.
We're waiting for him to kind of have a practice where we write down, his number.
Highlight. Yeah.
And we're like, hey, asterisk next to it, play of the day sort of thing. He had a chance a couple practices ago for an interception, did make it, but, it's a PBU. But most times, I kind of see him sort of trailing. And the only reason I bring that up is because it's something that Larry Holden and I talked yesterday in that 12 o'clock hour about when he said, hey, P.J. Williams, Arthur Millett, Devontae Harris. He said, they have to make the team. I said, well, what about the rookies then? Cameron Moore's been dealing with a hamstring issue. Natrell Jamerson's a cornerback. Again, not saying he's struggling, it's just, When the Saints are this deep, or you have guys that are good, like, how do you stand out? That's my point. P.J. Williams getting an interception. Devontae Harris is getting two or three interceptions, a couple of pass blocks, right? When you say Arthur Millett, get a couple of pass blocks or interceptions. It's setting a standard of Natrell Jamerson doesn't stand out unless he gets an interception or a PBU.
He got an interception at the beginning of camp.
Right, but you know what I'm getting at? I mean, that's my point. It's like, I'm not going to say it's almost unfair, but that's where it is right now. I mean,
it's Larry, that competitive.
Right. If Larry is saying that the three guys that are veterans that have been on this team, P.J. Williams, Millett, and Devontae Harris, have to make the team.
Right.
When they're getting pass blocks, when they're getting interceptions, my goodness, then what do the rookies have to do? You get what I'm getting at? To beat them, because there's only so many spots here. Because one of the things I am going to write about tonight, and we'll discuss tomorrow, it is absolutely, I think, to me, the number one or two, I haven't decided yet, out of my top five things to look at in order of importance, one being the most important, is the backup quarterback position. I get some of the people I've asked, Larry yesterday, a couple other people, Sharif, throwing it in there. Oh, it's definitely,
Tom?
Yeah. Definitely Savage. I get it. I'm like, that's great, but are you saying that because
he was a
he's a vet and he started before? Because if that's the case, remember he's not a starter anymore. I guess I need to see one or the other clearly win that job. Does that make sense? I want to see one or the other clearly to me say, okay, he is the backup quarterback for this New Orleans Saints football
team. I think the past few practices we've seen Tom Savage win that role.
Okay.
Because we've seen Taysom Hill be more of a holder on special teams, field goal unit.
But to the point you're bringing up, it's a very good one. He is getting more and more snaps on different special teams, whether it's kick coverage holding and thing. He's making the team. This is the point I'm bringing up. It's taking up a roster spot. So if you're keeping three quarterbacks and you're bringing a roster spot with a guy that's going to be on special teams, that's your quarterback or a backup quarterback, whose spot is he taking? Is it a defensive back? Is it a defensive lineman? Is it one of those linebackers? You got some numbers there. Is it a running back? Again, don't even play that sounder. If Alvin Kamara is sick, has the flu, can't play.
Here we go.
No, what I'm saying is, how many running backs then do you keep? You got to keep, what, three, four? But if I'm keeping three quarterbacks, somebody's position group is going to be one man short, to what I'm getting at, with three quarterbacks. So the receiving group. I mean, we started camp a couple weeks ago here, Jordan. We're like, that is one of the deepest receiving cores they got right now. I still think, and accurately would say, they have the potential to be the best four that they've had in the Peyton era, right?
Now we have some players getting injured.
With boom, look at you learning, Joey. He knows exactly where I was going. Because you got Michael Thomas, you got Tre'Quan Smith, you got Cameron Meredith. They're in, and Ted Ginn.
I think Travon Darrell would have been a very nice piece to add into this wide receiver core.
Agree. IR. Brandon Coleman. Released. Injured. Gotta wait to get healthy. Now we've seen a guy like Keith Kirkwood getting opportunity with the ones, number 18. When you watch the game tomorrow, again, we're going to talk more about this, but that's my point, is that do you keep an extra receiver? Like in Tommy Lee Lewis, right? He hasn't practiced this week. Had a good practice over the weekend on Saturday, then left practice early on Sunday. You're blaming me. I had nothing to do with it. But he didn't practice the rest of the week. Now, again, I say the rest of the week, it was only Monday. Off day yesterday. Today's a walkthrough to get on a flight and go to Jacksonville. Do we see him tomorrow? He's a guy that I think
bubble wrap.
Needs bubble wrap for Tommy Lee Lewis?
Maybe. I mean, if he's going to be a wide receiver.
No, what if he gets? But that's what I'm saying. I think he needs every snap in preseason because he's also competing for the returner
role. Or has he already locked it up in training camp?
Again, it all depends how many receivers you keep. That's why I keep bringing up that third quarterback. If you keep three quarterbacks, how many receivers can you keep?
Because from what I was hearing with some of the players, they were saying that he's one of the better wide receivers in that core.
Well, he's definitely – do you remember the question I asked on Saturday? Mind you, you were 55 feet away from me.
You took
Saturday off, essentially.
No.
But do you remember – I could have asked Sean Payton. Okay, it was a learning experience. I could have asked him, hey, how much better is he this year? That's generic. You know, is he – one of the better receivers. Okay. I specifically asked him because of two plays that we saw in one-on-one drills in which he got into the end zone, and I forgot it was covered. Might have been crawled. I mean, I thought he broke his ankles. Like, he went one way. The defender went another.
Was that in the end zone?
It was one-on-one. Remember, I was like, oh, my goodness, the move he put on him.
Yeah.
He made two or three spectacular moves to get open and be wide open. See, when you're vertically challenged – and you're not a big 6'2", 6'3", receiver, you still got to find a way to get
open.
Use
that to your advantage.
Well, but how do you use that to your advantage? You're a smaller guy. You're lower to the, you know, to the ground. You can use that gravity. You need to be a guy that can make cuts is what I'm getting at. Yeah. You need to get away from somebody that's going to physically be able to grab you and put their hands on you. So that's why I specifically asked him, has his route running gotten better? Because if his route running gets better, then he can get open a little easier. Drew can deliver the football, and now you can use your speed. Doesn't do me any good if you're super fast and super elusive if you can't get free. Doesn't do me any good to be super fast and you're grabbing onto my jersey, and before Drew can throw to me, I'm still only 2-3 yards away. Now, if I can release and you can't touch me, or if 3-5 yards in, I've eluded you and I'm open, that's a difference. We go to that play that day on Saturday, and we go to the touchdown in the corner of the end zone. He was wide open, but he found that zone, that little area, where to go. So he's releasing better. That's why I specifically asked that question. Is his route running gotten better? And if you remember what Sean Payton said that day, he touched on it. He touched on the fact that that is a situation where Tommy Lee has gotten a little bit better in that route running, and it's helped them really kind of stand out a bit. So, again, it's just one of those things that I want to kind of keep paying attention to, and we'll definitely look at tomorrow when we look into it. But this is exactly what he had to say, by the way.
Well, his overall understanding of what we're doing, you know, in year one, there was a lot. He was moving around. He's playing a handful of positions. You know, he's quick. He's someone that gets into a pattern quickly. And, you know, his scope of understanding has certainly improved.
And that's why I asked him that. And you heard Sean Payton kind of mention, look, it helps him understand improving it. And so, again, start thinking about that. I'm going to ask you all to do y'all's homework as well. 800-998-1003. Give me your top three. You don't have to give me five unless you want to give me five tomorrow. I'm going to ask you that tomorrow. Specifically that. Now, if you want to touch on different takes on the team as well, we can do that. We can also bring back the question of the day, which has to do with Jahlil Okafor and the Pelicans signing. Also, when we come back out of this break, Joey will touch on the fact we now know who the... October 17th, your New Orleans Pelicans will be at the Houston Rockets. It'll be televised on ESPN. Then on Martin Luther King in January, it'll be at Memphis in a 4:30 game on TNT. The rest of the schedules will be coming out. Today, the league just announcing the season opener, which is October 16th, a Tuesday. 76ers at the Celtics and also Golden State at OKC. Those are your first pair of games, and the Pels a day later, October 17th. Yes, it does seem not only much earlier, it is. I remember just a couple years ago, Pels used to tip off, man, October, like 31st for Halloween, which I thought was, you know, was really, really early. It used to be like November 2nd, 3rd when they first got to New Orleans. And it's just getting earlier. Why are they doing that, Gus? They're doing that to avoid a lot of back-to-backs. They're doing it to extend the season to where you don't have as many road trips or things of that nature that is going to hurt them. They're basically trying to get rid of back-to-back games. So by starting it this early, it can stretch it out a little bit more. I'm with Scott Kushner, who we talked about, or who we talked to at 12:30. I'd rather stretch it the other way. Don't do it in the NFL season. Don't do it in college football. There's a lot of people already only kind of really care about the NBA come Christmas, right, on the 25th. I want to be able to me, I get the finals is in, you know, June. Just extend it. Extend an extra 2-3 weeks, and then, you know, you have the draft on the 22nd this year, June. It's kind of a dead period, especially in, you know, that dead week where you have the Major League Baseball All-Star game where it's just kind of, right? We're waiting for NFL training camp and stuff. Imagine if that's the NBA Finals. I would extend it the other way. Yeah. Lee, we're going to get into you in a quick sec, but first, Jimmy, thanks for holding on during the break. What you got, bud?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, bud.
Jahlil Okafor, I'm not even calling for that. You know, I remember him at Duke. He's a good player, and yep. AD should make anybody better if he can prove that he can do it. Then, you know, defenses have to account for him, but... more concerned and wondering what you have information-wise on what we're going to do from a point guard standpoint. Because when we lost Boogie, I didn't sweat it. I was glad he left, be honest with you, because he's a stat stuffer and I like his game, just not in New Orleans. He freezes up the ball and he wants to hang outside. Well, you know it because you cover the Pels. But, you know, when we lost Rondo, man, I went into about a three-day depression because he really he was our answer. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like we have a big question mark there. So I'd like to know what we have to cover that.
What we have right now on the roster, right, is
right. Or what we're gonna get.
Well, let's put it that way. There you go. That's kind of where I'm going. They're going right now. It looks like going into camp right now. They like what they saw. In, what was it, Jordan? 11 or 13 minutes in the summer league from Frank Jackson. They liked what they saw there. He had the same amount of points, I think, as he did in minutes. But they liked what they saw there. I think they want to wait to see. What can he do when he's healthy? Does that make sense to you? I'm with you.
It does, but I mean, you foresee if they don't get an answer quick, they're going to try to get one quicker. I mean, you would think, correct?
Agree.
They're going to make some moves.
Agree. No doubt. I mean, listening to the way Dale Demps and Alvin Gentry talked about Elfrid Payton, they seem to feel, to Jordan's point, the right system with the right coach can benefit a player that maybe, and again, Jordan, this is what I'm talking about. I wouldn't ripping Jahlil Okafor, but Elfrid Payton showed some signs that he could play on there, right? Now, again, sort of like Jahlil Okafor, a team's taking a chance on him, but they gave him a guaranteed deal, and so they have a little more belief that he can fit in the system. That's all I was trying to get at. But, Jimmy, to your point, I think listening to Gentry and listening to Dell Demps talk the way they did about Peyton, they feel that he can do what they need him to do in the system. And what they need him to do in the system is what we saw Rondo do best. Don't turn over the basketball. Push the tempo. And then when you drive the lane, if the layup's there, take it. And if not, dump it to, I don't know, AD. Dump it to, I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and you left the other side the ball off. We, you know, he does need to play a little defense.
See, Rondo's that's the thing. Look, we talked to Scott Prather, who covered him at UL, host on his own show, Drive Time at ESPN 1420 Lafayette. The guy was the defensive player of the year in college basketball. I just have a hard, now I get it's a different game and all that. But dude, can you play defense or not? I did, right? I mean, you get what I'm getting at, Jimmy? How can you go from being the defensive player of the year to not? So, is it system? Is it the way the game is? It's a different, but look, this was a team in last season played zero defense the beginning of the year. And Jimmy, would you agree with me or not? Their defense towards the end of the year in the playoffs was a huge reason the Pelicans won.
Oh, no doubt. So, everything did. But again, that comes on the heels of, you know, Boogie getting out of the system, yep, and then playing team basketball on both ends.
And that's,
and, you know, that goes
at
a long way.
That's what I'm getting at. Let's see what Darren Erman, let's see what this team can do. And Alfred Payton, where he just has to play that role. You know, just play that role, man up.
I just hope they have a plan.
Yeah.
You know, because in the West, you can't wait, 2 months into the season and then start your adjustment.
No, you're
it's
done.
Just not going to work. They
I'll
can't
say
play
this,
catch up.
Jimmy, for the first time, I said this towards the end of last year, this offseason as well, definitely in the first time in the Demps Gentry era, and it's been a while covering this team, I actually, you know what Dino and I used to always say for years, way back to two stations ago, what is the Pels' identity? I didn't know what they were. What is your plan? Just tell the fans, what is your plan? You know, in Philly, we made fun of it, but they told us, Jordan, what was it?
Trust the process.
Trust the process. Just trust us on this. It might be 3 to 5 years, but I said it. And years ago, if you've listened to the show as long as we started, I said what they should do is say, give me 3 to 5 years. You tell your fans, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build it right. In 3 years, we want to be a playoff team. And in years 4 and 5, a first round. And by the time you get to 5, we're a second round playoff team. And I think this is kind of where they want to be right now. They absolutely feel they're a playoff team. That's round one. Now you need to try to build a team to at least get out of the second round. If you can get to the conference final, anything happens, right? Each team has to win 4 games. Let's see what happens. Could be Golden State, could be Houston. That's fine. Let's see what happens. But make yourself, build yourself into a team that is a second round team year in and year out. Now we're talking. And in how they approached free agency, now granted, you didn't have a lot of money, but Jimmy, how they approached it, didn't overspend, didn't try to make ridiculous moves in trade, first round picks from 5 years from now. They made smart moves, like I'll throw an Okafor. They didn't, you know, look, he works fantastic. He doesn't, you didn't lose much. You know what I mean? I like that. So, Jimmy, I do think they have a plan for the first time in a long time.
I hope so, man. All right, enjoy your show.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy's pumped. Jordan was pumped, too. He loves him some NBA. You're ready to see,
no,
huh?
I love my NBA basketball talk.
What happens if there's a Saints and NBA practice the same day? Because it's
going to
happen.
I'm going to that Pelicans practice.
You're, really?
I love my
You know
Pelicans.
Pel's training camp September.
I love my Pel's.
You know when the Saints start? September what? What's the Saints' first game? Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm more dedicated to the...
Oh, come on. You don't know the Saints' first game of the year?
I really don't. I'm sorry. September 21st?
No. Jeez-em. That's week 3.
Jeez-em. September 7th.
You're close.
September 8th.
You're really close.
9th.
There you go. Sunday, September 9th. Lee, what you got for us here on the Sports Hangover, man? Thanks for calling us.
Hey, I enjoyed that last call. Mm-hmm. You know, it got me pumped about basketball as well. But I think, you know, our identity, before I get to Kamara, sure, our identity as a foot basketball team, Gus, is run and gun. The fun gun, that's pretty much what we do. We're running up and down that court. I love it. And I like that kind of tempo and that fast, fast play. Because what it does is it creates transition scoring. And it helps you on the defensive side as well, because that team know we run this half-court system. We miss a shot, they're going down the court. They're down the court in 3-4 seconds. So I like that aspect of this team. And I think what Dell Demps is doing is he's going out and get gazelles. He's going out and get guys that wants to run the court. We can play half court, but I think we're better as a team when we're in that transition game, that up and down court. And that's what killed Portland. Portland couldn't adjust to the way we played. And every time they made adjustments, we readjusted. We just stayed one step ahead of them. It's like playing chess. You know, we figuring out, okay, checkmate in 6 moves. You know, and they're playing move for move. And I just think that's the team that we have right now. And AD likes this kind of basketball. He loves this kind of basketball. And I think we need to bring in guys that reflect that kind of basketball. If we do those things, Gus, I'm telling you, man, I see us getting to Western Conference Finals. We might not win it, but we can get to the Western Conference Finals if we got some guys that that buying into the system and want to run the court. Get out here. Hey, look, when we get out here on the court, we know we run it. It's a marathon. I mean, we're sprinting up and down this court for the next 2 hours. That's what we're going to do.
It's been a long, long time since I can say I'm looking down at the calendar here on my MacBook and it says August 8th. And somebody's telling me, finals, Western Conference Finals for the New Orleans basketball team. I love it, Lee. That's fantastic. Before we get to Corey, you want to touch on Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, Gus, we know Sean Payton's smart. He's a brilliant guy. We know this, but I'm still panicking a little bit because I don't want him to overuse Alvin Kamara in the first 4 games. I want him to resist the temptation of giving him more than 16 touches. Just resist that temptation. Keep him around 12 to 15 touches because we're going to need him later on in the season. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling January is going to be his month. So I really want them to control his reps, control his touches, because we don't want him getting injured too early on in the season because we don't have Kamara. That's why I'm hoping one of these other backs can step into that role and take over that Mark Ingram role and let Kamara do what he does best. You know, either be Batman or Robin, but not both.
Well, here's the thing. I like his response from earlier this week, Lee, and he's like, give it to me. He can handle it. I don't think you're going to use him that much. I'm going by this theory. You got to hit him.
Yeah.
You got to hit him. And he seems to be a guy that I think is smart. I think he's a guy that understands what he needs to do with his body. This is what he had to say this week.
Alvin, do you think you can handle more touches?
Yep.
When Mark's not out there?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm pausing. He went full Jordan the intern there, huh? Can you handle the touches? Yep. That's what he did. He went, yep.
Dynamite drop-in money at broadcast school has really paid off.
But Jordan, he's a football player. He's not in broadcast school. So that's, but anyway, Kamara did go. He went full Jordan there. He went, yep.
Yep.
we love the guy. It's so easy for us to fall in love with him.
Nah, he's awesome. Yeah.
Man, he's just an even-tempered, mild-mannered, good guy, you know, and then he has this inner violence when he strap up the helmet, gets on the field, he's like, this guy's not going to tackle me, I'm going to jump over him, I'm going to run over him, I'm going to run around him, something, but he's not getting me down.
No.
And he runs
just
like
remember
that.
This, Lee, and it's the reason why I'm advocating for more touches. He's one of the few players on the field in the NFL that can score on every play. So, again, this is my ode to defenses everywhere in the NFL. I mean, if it had to do with me, that's one more opportunity each and every game that he can score on you. Because when he touches the ball, you might miss a tackle. You might get run over. You might get juked out of your cleats. No. I mean, I feel bad for defense. I'm saying it's like, you know, hey, if you don't want to give him the ball, you're helping the defense. Because the more touches, I'm looking at it the other way, Lee. The more touches, the better for Alvin Kamara. Because I'm going to put my money that he can get away from a defender, juke somebody, make him look terrible, and put him on highlights. That's why he's getting the sad violin. Because if you're a defender in the NFL, he gets more touches, it's more opportunity for you to get embarrassed.
Yeah, and hurt.
You know what? No, that's it. You're not getting hurt. There goes Lee. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the phone call. We'll hit the quick break when we come back. Corey, thanks for holding on. He wants to talk about the Pelicans. Preseason schedule is like this. September 30th is when the first basketball game of the season. It is preseason, but it's still hoops. At Chicago, October 5th at New York. October 11th at Toronto. Versus Toronto, rather. And that will be at the Smoothie King Center. October 1st, I skipped that one. That's another game. The Knicks is the 5th. The 10th is Miami. Sorry. Atlanta on the 1st as well. So, yeah, 5 games. Chicago, Atlanta, New York, Minnesota on the road. October 11th, Toronto, the Smoothie King Center. The 16th, NBA season opener for the Pels. Season opener, Wednesday, October 17th at Houston on ESPN. When we come back, Corey wants to chat about it. If you want to talk Saints, Pels, anything, feel free. Tomorrow, we're dedicating it to the Saints and Jaguars. We'll be live at Vinny's Caddyshack, 3217 Ridge Lake over in Metairie. Come on by. We're going to be there each and every Thursday, but come by tomorrow. We'll have a spare headset since Jordan the intern's doing school stuff. Heaven forbid. So we'll give you Jordan's headset, and you can jump in the conversation and give your takes on your New Orleans Saints. Hour 3 continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Song for the broken hearted.
Jordan, the intern, what do you think? Can I pull off the hat that Joey's wearing?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I'm going to take a picture with your hat before I leave. Here in
LaRose. You're not going to look good in the hat.
Why?
I look good in Joey's anything. The only one that could pull that off.
Got a pair of Corys ready to come on the show. 800-998-1003. Corey one. Thanks for holding on during the break, my friend. What do you got for us, bud?
Hey, how y'all doing? Before I got to say what I got to say about the pal. I'm going to give my boy, Jordan the intern, a shout-out. Man, streaming calls, man. He pretty much is do all, jack of all trades. Ooh, my man. Hey, that man, man.
Hey, way to go. Way to do your job. Way to do your job.
Appreciate you, Corey.
Yeah, right. to get back to the Pels, I didn't see the schedule. I heard y'all talking about they got to open the they got Houston. And I heard one of the callers say that they got the potential they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. I kind of disagree.
Okay.
Because to me, I just feel like you kind of took a step backwards. Because I love the Pels, and I made arguing with Boogie Cousins. You just don't play games with them. But I just think that you don't know what you're going to get out of this team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Last year, you pretty much, I mean, you was clicking on all cylinders, and you know this better than me, Gus. It's about matchups. They got a favorable matchup against Portland when they pretty much, I didn't expect them to sweep them, but, I mean, when they went up 3 games, oh, I was calling for the brum. I just don't know. I mean, the last time I checked, number 23 is in La La Land. So, who knows if they pretty much match up with L.A. in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, you still got Denver, you got Utah. I mean, you got teams that are going to be better. That's why I say last year with New Orleans, you know, piggyback with New Orleans, it's about getting the matchup at the right time and getting hot at the right time. I thought that they got hot at the right time, but I'm 43 name. But I mean, it's just you gotta strike while the getting is good. And I think last year they pretty much, actually both teams had it pretty much a favorable matchup going into the postseason last year.
Hey, so, we said
I don't know, Gus.
We said if you remember, going into that final week, we pretty much wanted Portland, right? We wanted no part of Utah. We didn't want to be on the other side of that draw. We definitely wanted Portland. So you have a very good point on that. And I think you're right, without being disrespectful, to say that the Pels may have taken a step back from this aspect of it. You knew at least going into last season by a little bit of what you got, what you saw in DeMarcus Cousins. Plus, he is an all-star player. You know, on the floor, off the bench, he's a double-double. He's double-digit rebounds, double-digit points, right? The question mark was, how does it fit and how can you get the rhythm going with everything? So you did have that known. You didn't know about Rondo just yet, but you know about playoff Rondo. And, you know, you started hearing and listening when players said, hey, this guy is a leader. This guy is bringing a different level of of expectation level and ideas and stuff. So after the season ends, you know this. Whether you liked it or not, Boogie brought a double-double. That has to be replaced. Somebody's got to get you double-digit points. Somebody's got to get you double-digit rebounds. Whether you liked it or not, Rajon Rondo brought you veteran leadership. I think helped grow Jrue Holiday into the player we saw in the Portland series for sure. And Anthony Davis to the point where I think he's ready to take over as the sole team leader, not share with Boogie, not share with Rondo. I think AD's ready to be the guy in every aspect this year. So yeah, you don't have that going into this season. I'm not expecting that from Elfrid Payton. Now, I do think Jrue Holiday can step up and be a leader and be maybe Robin to AD being Batman, right? But I don't know what Julius Randle can do. Can he give me double-digit boards and double-digit points? There's hope, but again, they're unknowns. So to your point, I'm with you. Let's see what happens, because look, you had to win a bunch of games last year, man, to get in, and you barely got in, right? So I'm with you. Nothing's guaranteed. I still do think they can contend. Matt Moore, used to be at CBSSports.com, now writes basketball for a national site as well. He thinks they could contend for a spot beyond that second round. So he still thinks they're a good basketball team. We'll see. But I'll say this, the expectation level's gotten higher, and I like it.
And they have, and I mean, that's, like I see, they just signed Oklahoma, and we all know, I mean, this roster pretty much going to turn over. It's going to flip over because, you know, they're like they pretty much deal people. So, I mean, if Oklahoma can give you, I guess, at least half of what he did in his rookie season, man, and it's unbelievable, Gus, because he ain't nothing but 22 years old.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the potential, I mean, it's through the roof. I mean, when the guy first came out, I mean, he was a team mispick. Now he pretty much bouncing around from team to team. But I think that if he cut out with the same stuff that he was in his rookie season, if AD take him under his wings, I mean, you're pretty much looking at a rejuvenated Okafor. But the bottom line will come down is that it's going to be at the point guard. Can the Pals bring a point guard in to pretty much take some of the lure off AD and Jrue Holiday? That's what it brought down to, because Rondo gave you that. He gave you that, and you saw when he was at his best, Holiday, he flourished. So, to me, I think that's what it's going to come down to. And I heard that they're supposed to be going after Super Mario Jones, but I don't know, Gus.
I would be surprised if at some point in time they tip off that season there isn't some sort of veteran experience, had a couple of games under their belt other than, and I'm not saying that for Peyton doesn't, but to even help back him up or push him to be the starter. You know what I'm saying? I just, you don't have the point guard level play that I'm comfortable with just now, but let's see. I mean, there's a lot of hope that they have that with Elfrid Payton. Let's just see, but I could see why, whether it's Thomas or anybody else, they could be still in the market looking. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate the phone call, man.
Appreciate you, Corey.
Well, that's nice of you to jump in and say that, but I guess you would since he gave you props, huh?
Yeah.
Corey, number two, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got, man?
Hey, what's going on, G-Cat? How you doing, brother?
Good, bud.
I'm just calling, man, because I really like what the Pelicans are doing. You know, they're going young. I mean, think about it. Okafor was a third overall pick. I mean, I hate to say this, but he was an insurance policy to Joel Embiid. Philadelphia was thinking, if Embiid don't come back healthy, we have Okafor, it don't look too bad. But what happens the following season? He comes back, Okafor goes to the bench, gets lost in minutes, goes to Brooklyn, don't play for 4 weeks. I mean, Brooklyn, it wasn't doing anything. Why are you not playing this man? And then, you know, so he's got a chip on his shoulder. You look at Julius Randle. Julius Randle had a career year with the Lakers. What they do? Sign LeBron James, renounce his rights. Now he's a free agent. What does Pelican do? Hey, man, look, we like your game. Come here. We want you. Alfred Payton. You know, he 10th overall to Orlando, gets traded to Phoenix, all of a sudden becomes a free agent. Nobody's offering him anything. Look, come on home. You know, you're a top 10 pick. Come on home to New Orleans. Defensive rookie, you know, defensive player of the year in college. I love what they're doing. It almost reminds me of that movie Young Guns. You know, just taking all these scrappers running around and just taking them in. Who we know they have talent. They just need the opportunity, and that's what the Pelicans. I like it. Why keep signing all these veterans, these 1 year deals, and all of a sudden they leave? So I love where they're going. I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs, but like you said, we finally see an idea of what they're trying to build in New Orleans. But I do got to say, One more move I really want to make. It's another young gun. Go get Ronnie Hood, 25-year-old small forward who can shoot the three, create his own shot, play defense. Then we're ready. You got a team of 25 and younger to go with AD. You got an identity. Go from there.
Well, I know there was a lot of talk about that a little bit here, you know, around the draft time. So I do say this. I don't think the Pels tip off against the Rockets with the current roster. I think there's going to be some additions, don't you? I think there's going to be some additions.
I mean, if not, I'm happy what it is now. Like I said, go get Rodney Hood, and I'm cool. Let the young guns battle it out, man. Let Alfred Payton come home to New Orleans and be the point guard he should have been when Orlando got him at number 10.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate the phone call, man. I tell you what, I'm excited and looking forward to Jordan. What his team does open up against Houston. Because I don't... Is Houston as strong? A lot of people like, well, you lost Trevor Ariza. The guy couldn't make a shot to, I mean, right to anything. But against Golden State, but hear me out.
He's a big playmaker.
Well, when they need him, he would MIA. And it was like, but he's a defender. He didn't defend anybody against Golden State. Now, it's Golden State, I get it. But you're right. He was a key part of that team. Right?
Major.
I mean.
I think he was one of the biggest.
You know how you know he was a big part? He was on the State Farm commercials with James Harden and Chris Paul. No, I mean, yeah, I mean.
Exactly.
The fact that he was part of the commercials tells you all you need to know, that he was their buddy. He got tied in. They thought he was a big deal, right? See, you don't get that kind of analysis anywhere else, wow. Jordan.
Can't believe I'm your intern.
Yep, exactly. So, I do think that they might, that's a loss. That's a big loss, right? And how do they bounce back from that?
They're lucky they still have Clint Capella. That massive contract they had to sign him to.
Again, you don't look at it from the, you know, Golden State perspective. It's what I keep saying. We talked about it at the end of the year last year. As we go to break, how do you build your team? You build your team to try to Golden State. That's what Houston's doing. Let them do it. At some point in time, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, they're going to have to make a decision there.
Do you give it another year? Quick question. Mm-hmm. You give it another year.
Who?
Golden State Warriors, this dynasty.
Well,
do you think Klay Thompson gets a little...
Well, I think at some point in time, something's got to happen eventually, right? Durant. I mean, does he stay there forever or not? So I don't think you build your team to let Golden State do their run. Build your team, as I said, to be a perennial second-round basketball team, year in and year out, to where you get to the Western Conference Finals, and then figure it out. How do you get past that? That's what all the great teams do. Make it to where it's not even a... No one's saying Houston isn't going to the playoffs this year. No one's saying Golden State, they're going. Get to that point, and then we worry about the team that you need to beat. Get to that point. It's like LSU football. Get to being the second best team in the SEC West. Then we worry about national championships and stuff.
Right.
That's how I feel. We'll close the show up next on ESPN New Orleans.
To listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once. I am one of those melodramatic fools.
Tell you what, watching Joey do a little Green Day here is worth the trip to La Rose. It really is. We'll be back in Metairie tomorrow as we'll be live at Vinny's Caddy Shack, 3217 Ridgelake Drive over in Metairie. We're going to be there each and every Thursday from here on out. It is the Thursday ESPN Lunch Club Fridays, still at Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen and Tap. Jay Hargrave and myself will be there getting ready to, breaking down the Saints preseason opener. Who stood out? Who's on the milk cart? No, I mean, he won't be that. I'm sure he'll want to cut somebody. Who's on his cut list on Friday? Ridiculous. What?
I was going to say
no, something. You're not cutting anybody after the first. Stop it.
I was going to say something.
Anyway, but we're looking forward to tomorrow. John Forkey is going to join us a little bit on the show. Don't know how long he's going to, you know, sneak around there and just hang out. But we're looking forward to being over there at Vinny's Caddy Shack. Super cool place. Great food. Super duper specials and all that. It's really cool. So come on, have a little lunch. We're going to use Jordan's headset since he will be doing school. So what are you doing tomorrow?
Registration.
Shouldn't you have already done that?
I don't think it's... I'm not too sure, actually, what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. I figured
it's an orientation. I don't know why.
No, you they're need making, orientation.
They're making me go to this
you need,
orientation.
You need life orientation. That's what you need.
An orientation had to be more awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, Michael on Twitter, at ESPN Radio NOLA, at GCAT underscore 17. Are you putting a poll question up on who will be the champ of football toss on Saturday over at New Orleans Harley-Davidson? I don't think it's without question. Look, the pressure's on John Forcade. He's a New Orleans Sports Hall of Famer, former Saints quarterback. He played quarterback, right? College at Ole Miss. Sean Heisman. He has to perform. I don't care if he's had 18 operations.
Wow.
I mean, right?
No handicap for him?
No, there's no handicap. I don't care if he's got the blue sticker in his car.
Wow. That's
he's horrible. Throwing the football. He's not running and throwing.
We're doing a 40-yard dash.
Well, he's been excluded from the 40-yard dash.
No,
you haven't.
See, now there's an asterisk involved.
No, there's no asterisk involved. You're 19. If you get hurt running a 40, you're in trouble.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Live at Vinny's Caddyshack, 3217 Ridge Lake. Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next. You've been listening to ESPN New Orleans.